Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor with a Wednesday episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Today is March 25th. It is 10:15 a.m. Eastern, and this is an absolutely loaded slate, so we do have a lot to talk about. There are a lot of games on this slate that maybe don't matter, but also a couple that really do, including a meeting between the Celtics and Thunder that could be an NBA Finals preview. So I've been complaining the last couple of days about how there are not a lot of good games while March Madness is on pause, at least the men's side of March Madness. But tonight's slate does make up for a little bit of that. But yeah, I'm really excited to see those two teams clash. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, I do want to get the bad games out of the way. There's a lot of them. I mean, I counted like seven, I believe. So Lakers at Pacers, Bulls at 76ers, Spurs at Grizzlies, Wizards at Jazz, Mavericks at Nuggets, Nets at Warriors, and Bucks at Trailblazers. So a ton. And a lot of these games are, you know, usable if you're looking for parlays. Some of them are just bad teams facing one another, and I don't know what to do with them. So I've completely thrown them out. I mean, there are some teams that I am going to in a parlay. There are four of them. It's the Lakers facing the Pacers, the Spurs facing the Grizzlies, the Nuggets hosting the Mavericks, and the Blazers taking on the Bucks. Those are the teams that I trust the most out of this group. If you throw the four of them together, it's like minus 154. I do think that the Lakers and Pacers game is going to be crazy up and down. So if you are looking for a side or total there, maybe it's the over, just because I do think Indiana is going to be able to score on Los Angeles, but the Lakers are going to absolutely torch that Pacers defense. So I do think the Lakers end up getting in the win column, but if you need something there, you're dying for, you know, a side or total, I do think the over might be worth the play. Bulls 76ers, that's a tough one for me. The Bulls have been probably the feistiest of these tanking teams all year, and, you know, they've blown a few of these parlays for us, so I don't really trust the 76ers, who are missing, you know, a bunch of players. So I'm not sure that that's the way I'd want to go. Spurs Grizzlies, easy trust for me in San Antonio. I think that San Antonio continues to roll with a win over Memphis. Wizards Jazz, I told you I'm skipping. Mavericks Nuggets, this is another one where it's like the Nuggets beat the Suns last night, really close game, so the rest situation is not perfect for Denver, but when they are healthy, they are a different beast. And I do think that they are, you know, very healthy right now, playing very well. And the Mavericks, I think that we just saw the very best that they have to offer with this group in a game against the Warriors, and they still ended up losing that game. So not really sure how I see them going into Ball Arena and winning that game. And then the last one that I said that I mentioned, Blazers over the Bucks. Milwaukee has won a few games without Giannis this season, but this Portland team is still looking to win, you know, and try to improve their play-in positioning. And I do think this is a good defensive team, a well-coached team as well. So I don't think you're going to get any type of, you know, lull from them on that end of the floor. I think they're going to completely stifle the Bucks offense. And I do think that the Blazers are going to have enough success offensively to handle their business against the Bucks. So seven of those games that I really don't love, but four of them are good enough for a parlay. So minus 154 for that parlay. That's something I'm playing. But now let's get into the games that, you know, feature some good teams taking on one another. It starts with the Hawks and the Pistons at 7 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where the Hawks are 2.5-point underdogs. Total is 228.5. And I am going to loop two games in here together and bring in the Raptors at Clippers at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, because I'm going to take an alternate spread parlay with those two games. With the Hawks, It's that game in Detroit. I've been on the wrong side of this over the last couple of days. Had Detroit to lose to the Lakers, and they ended up winning that game. So I do want a few extra points with the Hawks that I normally would, but I do think this is a game Atlanta should win. I'm just giving myself some extra cushion. But you look at since the All-Star break, the Hawks are 14-2 straight up, 12.3 net rating, league second best defense in that span with a 106.2 raw defensive rating. I continue to think that, you know, this Pistons team with no Cade Cunningham at some point is going to look very bad offensively. And I do think this Hawks team being elite defensively will probably bring out the worst in the Pistons offense. So that's really where I'm at with this game, is I just think that Atlanta is going to completely shut down Detroit. And I know that you could worry a little bit about the Hawks offense playing well against a good defense. I mean, this is not a team that has passed a lot of tests in terms of, you know, beating good opponents and beating good defenses. they didn't even look great against the Rockets. So that is, you know, a concerning red flag for me. But still, I gave myself some extra cushion here. +8.5 is the way I'm playing this. Also took the Raptors +10.5. So this is a game, the second game, where the Clippers have been a team that I've really liked ever since the James Harden trade. It's not exactly a team that I've been looking to fade. And Toronto does have, you know, a lot of players on the injury report with Brandon Ingram, Jakob Poeltl, and Emmanuel Quickly all listed as questionable. So we're going to need some injury luck on the Toronto side. But I guess what I'm going to say here is that the Clippers, for as much as I've enjoyed backing them, there has been a lot of like odd spots for them. Like, they had a big 25-point win against the Timberwolves. That was really the only game where it was like they completely took care of their business against a good team. Maybe, you know, they had a close win against the Knicks. But again, I guess my point is this team does not blow out teams very often, at least not good teams. And I do think that the Raptors, they're not perfect, but they are pretty good. I mean, they're top, I believe, 13 in the league when you look at net rating over at dunks and threes. They are, 12th in the league, so +1.6 adjusted net rating. They are number 8 in the league in adjusted defensive rating at 112.7. I trust this team to guard, and I especially trust them to guard this Clippers team because I do like the size and just overall defensive instincts that Toronto has on the wing. I mean, you're not going to shut down Kawhi Leonard, who is also questionable tonight but probably will play. You're not going to completely stop him. But if you're making him work, you're going to do a pretty good job defensively on this team because it's really right now only Darius Garland and Kawhi Leonard. The role players are all manageable to guard. I do think that they have some good matchups for Garland, especially if Quickly plays. You could throw Quickly on him. You could throw Jamal Shedd on him. There are players that you can play that can disrupt him. Overall, I just think that this team does match up pretty well defensively. Even if you look at, like, if Poeltl were not to play tonight, if he were to not be able to shed his questionable tag and you're stuck out there with Sandro Mamukelashvili, you are not in terrible shape defensively just because the Clippers, not the best offensive team when you're looking at the center position. I think it was a little bit better when they had Zubats and when they had Niederhauser healthy. But, you know, now it's just Lopez, stretch five. All he's really going to do is knock down threes. So, if, you know, Mabu is able to just kind of stay out there on him, then he's doing his job. And I just think that this is going to be a game where it's going to be a little bit too much on Kawhi's shoulders. But yeah, we are going to need, you know, a few of these guys to play tonight. I mean, Ingram is the big one. You need his scoring against this Clippers defense. So hopefully we get on the right side of this. But we did take 10.5. Hopefully even a depleted, you know, Raptors team is able to kind of keep this game close enough. But yeah, I do think that +8.5 with the Hawks, +10.5 with the Raptors, you're getting that at -115. That's a really good price. I think that's a good way to kind of look to these two games. Otherwise, it would be Hawks for me on the money line. I did consider that as well, but just want a little extra cushion. But yeah, I do think Atlanta is going to win this game tonight. I think this team's going to find a way to stay hot. They are now up to 13 in the NBA in adjusted net rating, and they only have more to play for the rest of the way because, you know, they want to win the Southeast Division just for, you know, bragging rights. Really doesn't do anything for you, but they want to stay in the top six when looking at the postseason picture because they should not want to be playing in the play-in tournament, even though the Hawks have been a staple in the play-in tournament over the last couple of years. But I do think Atlanta wins. Other game, if I were taking something straight up, I'd probably lean Clippers, but, you know, minus the points given the injury report situation. But I think you just have to wait. I do think this is a game that Toronto, if they are healthy, will find a way to keep it very close. Before we move on to the Thunder at the Celtics, the game of the night, if you're looking to sharpen your edge this NBA season, VSiN Pro is where to start. Get advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights used by serious bettors every single day. Try it out for only $9.99 for your first month and see what smart bettors are using to beat the books. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and check out all of the subscription options. I keep saying that I love the $9.99 deal for, you know, basketball purposes because this is a really good time of the year for basketball, whether that's the NBA or March Madness or the NIT. We have everything covered over the website. We have women's NCAA tournament as well. But also, look, today's opening day in the MLB, and we do have a ton of baseball on the website. I'll be doing some MLB player props this year. So, you know, some of the stuff that you've heard from me with my NBA props, I will be doing with baseball. So we just have a lot going on at the website right now. It's a really good time to be a subscriber. So $9.99 for your first month. really good intro price. Just kind of get in, see what you like. And if you want to stick with us, you extend it in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, I really love what we're doing over at the website at vsin.com. Also, our network is the best. So if you can find a way to watch vsin, whether that's with the app or with YouTube TV or on our website, find a way to check it out. I really do feel confident that if you are a sports fan, not even just a sports bettor, you will like what you hear. We just talk sports all day, and it's really not as much like hot takey garbage as you hear elsewhere. There's really good analysis on pretty much every sport. So I would definitely check out what we have to offer on the network. All right, game of the night. I said I wanted to talk about this one. Do want to talk about it quite a bit. Thunder at Celtics, 7:30 p.m. Eastern tip. Thunder -2.5. Total is 218.5. Reading you DraftKings spreads. And like I said, it's around 10:30 a.m. now Eastern. This could change by the time you listen to this, but the Thunder short 2.5-point favorites on the road. And I really like the Thunder, and I played it money line -135, but I would be willing to lay the 2.5. You can't find that price, but Thunder -135 to win 1.5 units is a pretty, you know, big play for me tonight. And it's one that I feel really good about. I mean, OKC comes into this game with a completely clean injury report. I mean, there are some guys like really deep end of rotation, end of bench guys that are, you know, on assignment or something. But like, there isn't a single rotation player for the Thunder listed on the injury report tonight. You know, they got Jalen Williams back last game, 18 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds in 20 minutes. You know, played really well on both ends of the floor. I do think that now this team has been completely solidified. They're in their final stage. They're in their final boss stage. And I do think that if you kind of look at the numbers over the last couple of weeks, it's startling because this team has not been healthy. And since the All-Star break, I mentioned before the Hawks, it's the Thunder that have been the best team in the league. I mean, they are 15-1 since the All-Star break. They have the best defensive rating in the NBA at 105. It's a raw defensive rating, not adjusted. But this has been a stellar defensive team all season long. They've managed their injuries really well. They're going to be the one seed in the Western Conference. And I just kind of think that this is a game where their kind of size, physicality, speed could overwhelm Boston a little bit with it being so early in Jason Tatum's return to action. I know that Tatum has looked okay. I think that he's looked a little bit slow on the defensive end. I think he's looked a little bit disjointed on the offensive end. You're still seeing him play 30-ish minutes. You're still seeing him put up decent numbers. But I do think that this is a completely different type of test. And even though it is a game in Boston where the fans are going to be going absolutely insane, like tonight's atmosphere is going to be unmatchable as far as like a regular season game goes, I still think that there's going to be some deficiencies here. I just think that the Celtics need some more time together. And I think that if you just kind of look at what the Thunder have on the wing defensively, whether it's, you know, Williams or Lou Dort or Caruso, they have so many guys that could just kind of get up on the Jays, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and force bad decisions, force turnovers, force difficult shots overall. I just think that they are going to find a way to kind of slow this Celtics team down. I have mentioned before that I think that the center position is still a problem for Boston. Tonight, it feels like it could be an even bigger problem, because if it's Ihart out there for OKC, he's going to dominate the offensive glass against, you know, some foul-prone bigs in Nemias Keita or even Luka Garza, just whoever it is at the five. It's going to be a challenge keeping Hartenstein off the glass. And then if they move Chet to the five, all of a sudden you're talking about a quick, you know, driver of the basketball that can knock down threes and space you out and just make the Thunder offense, which is already excellent, even better. And then, like, you could say Derek White is a good matchup for SGA on the defensive end, because Derek White's one of the best perimeter defenders in basketball. But there is really no such thing as slowing down SGA. Like I said with Kawhi before, SGA is going to find his way to score 25-plus in this game and probably 30-plus. So even with having a player like White out there to defend, it's going to be a good night for SGA. And then all the other pieces are now alive and well and ready to help him. So there's going to be huntable matchups too on the Boston side, which is another thing that I've kind of talked about with this Celtics team over the last couple of days. I mentioned it with Kelly yesterday when I had Kelly Biblin on. There are a lot of players in this rotation for the Celtics that are playing out of their minds this season and really stepping up. But I have question marks about them in expanded roles in the playoffs. So like a guy like Baylor Shireman and even Peyton Pritchard to an extent, like, are we sure that there's a good matchup for those players on this court tonight? Like, I think that OKC just has so many players that are going to be able to score on some of the weak links. And I would even consider Tatum a weak link defensively right now, where he is in his return from the Achilles injury. So I just kind of think that OKC is a little too talented, a little too well-coached, and a little too, like, together, that I think it's a little too early to expect Boston to win this game. And I've been pretty consistent in saying that I don't see the Celtics as a championship contender. I know that that's maybe disrespectful. I think that this team was like a move away at the deadline from getting there. Like a move like the one, I said this yesterday as well, like the one the Pacers made for Ivica Zubac. Like, if they were to have upgraded the center position, we'd be talking about them in a completely different light right now. But like, this is really, it's not supposed to be a title year for them. This was supposed to be a gap year in general, and they just played out of their minds the first half of the season. They got to a point where it was just, you couldn't tell Jason Tatum he wasn't coming back if he's able to play 30 minutes, which he is. But I do think that overall they need to, you know, improve this rotation a little bit. So I'm looking at next year as a year where Boston gets back into the title conversation. I don't think it's going to be this year. I don't know that I think that any of the Eastern Conference teams, outside of maybe the Cavaliers, if they were to really turn it on, can go out and actually win the NBA title. I just think that the best of the West are that much better than the East. So I think we'll see that tonight. I mean, it is a regular season game. Maybe OKC doesn't get up for it the way that they would, a postseason game. But I don't know. These are the types of games that I do think the Thunder like to kind of like put their foot on the gas, step on some throats, and make some statements, because no one's been talking about OKC, you know, for a couple of weeks now, or honestly a couple of months now. Like, it's really just been ever since that scorching hot stretch to start the season where we were talking about them potentially breaking the wins record. It's been a little quiet on the OKC front. I feel like maybe they remind you tonight what they've been doing lately and what they can do when they are healthy. So Thunder money line for me, but let's move on to some other games. Don't want to spend too much time on that one. Heat at Cavaliers is the next one I want to talk about. Cavaliers 2.5-point favorites. The total is 242.5. Crazy, crazy number, which usually means some good player prop opportunities. And I'm going back to Sam Merrill, over 12.5 points at minus 125. I ended up taking Merrill over 11.5 points at minus 122, if you saw my column over at vsin.com yesterday, because I had a slight lean on that play. But then I saw the Opta AI player prop projections, which are great for VSIN Pro subscribers over on our website, just like 50 to 100 props a day on like a loaded slate like this, with prop projections and AI based things that really take into account matchup, recent play, all of that. Just it does a really good job of giving you kind of an idea of where to look on the player prop market. And like I said, I had a lean on Merrill, saw that they had him projected for around 15 points, and his total was 11.5. So I jumped on the over. It pushed me over the edge. I ended up taking Merrill. He had a really good game, and I think he's going to have another one here, because this Heat team, said it before, they're very strong defensively, but they also play at the league's fastest pace. So that cancels it out a little bit. It makes it so that, sure, on any given possession, you might see a team struggle to get off a good shot. But also, there's going to be way more possessions, which means more opportunities to find good looks. And Merrill is a player that maybe will find some really good looks against this defense, because Miami, for as strong as they are, they're just 23rd in the NBA defending above the break threes. Merrill scores 63% of his points on non-corner threes. So that is an area of the floor that you do not want to be bad against this Cavaliers team, especially when Merrill is on the floor. But I do think this is going to be a game where Merrill's going to get his good looks. He's going to enjoy shooting in this building, because he enjoys shooting at home. And there are other ways that Merrill could beat them, just because the Heat are below average when it comes to guarding spot-up jumpers in general, not just above the break three. So maybe in the corners, Merrill will find some threes. But also, this is a team that struggles a bit in transition. So Merrill might be able to make a layup or two, might be able to knock down a three, stop and pop three, like on a three-on-two or something. But I do think that overall, with Merrill being a really sharp, like, off-ball mover, this is a matchup he could take advantage of. He has scored 13-plus points in 5 consecutive games, so he has consistently been going over 12.5 points. And I'm not sure the status of Jalen Tyson yet. I do think that the injury report is not yet updated for this game. But this is a guy that did not play last night. Jared Allen also did not play last night. Not sure you're going to see a full-strength Cavaliers team this evening, which should mean 30-plus minutes for Merrill, as long as he's doing his part defensively, which he is a pretty sturdy defender. as far as bad defenders go. So I don't think he's going to be so bad that Kenny Atkinson needs to pull him off the floor and can't play him his usual minutes because of the advantages that he creates for you offensively. They're going to outweigh the defense. So I think that Merrill ends up having a really good game here. He has struggled in his previous two meetings with the Heat, but this is a home game. This is a game where Cleveland has been playing a little bit better. And like I said, the role will be a little bit bigger for Merrill. They will be looking to him a little bit more often. So I do think that he's going to end up scorching the Nets in this game. When I said Nets, I meant the like basketball net, not the Brooklyn Nets. But yeah, the Nets will probably get scorched too tonight. But yeah, let's move on now to Rockets at Timberwolves. This is the last game that I have a pick for. It is the late tip. This is a game that I believe it's the second game of the ESPN doubleheader for tonight. First game is that Hawks-Pistons game. So this will be a national television game, I believe. Yes, 9:30 p.m. Eastern tip. ESPN game, Rockets at Timberwolves. And this is a game where these are two of the hardest teams to trust, in my opinion. So I don't know how you can get comfortable playing the 1.5 either way. Rockets are laying 1.5 on the road, though. Total is 224.5. No Anthony Edwards again for Minnesota. So that makes it even tougher to kind of forecast where this Timberwolves team is going to be. They have been solid without Edwards. And you know they've won some games that I did not expect them to win. That game in Boston, I believe it was Sunday, absolutely killed me. I had a really good chance of having a big day that day and ended up losing a bunch because I had the Celtics to close out a minus 172 parlay. It was going to be to win two units. So it was a big loss. Definitely one that I did not see coming. So Minnesota's been better than I thought that they would be. But I don't really have a play here when you're looking at the side or the total. Where I want to go with this game is the player props. And I was looking at the Timberwolves side just because I do think the Rockets are struggling defensively. And you heard Ime Udoka say that after their embarrassing loss to the Bulls the other night. He's not happy with the way this team is competing right now. And I do think they're going to come out and play with a much stronger effort and overall energy level in this game. But I don't know that that's going to matter too much when looking at some of the Timberwolves player props. So what I ended up playing, it's another weird one. I guess it sticks with last night's theme where I had some really odd players. And damn, Rashear Fleming thought that was going to get home. He had so many open looks from three, missed a bunch of and-one opportunities where he got the layup off like with a real chance of making it and was just not able to finish. So I feel like that was one that should have gotten home and was the right handicap. But man, tough loss, but still. Been playing a lot of weird players. We're not changing that here. Kyle Anderson over 11.5 points, rebounds, and assists at plus 100 is the play that I'm going with. This is a guy that has found a way into this Minnesota rotation. Did not expect that after, I think he was with the Jazz earlier in the year, was not playing very much. I just kind of thought that we had seen our last of Kyle Anderson as a rotation player for a playoff team, but he's playing for the Timberwolves right now. He's playing pretty well. I mean, he's had at least 13 combined points, rebounds, and assists in three of the last four games. And this is a guy that I've always thought was like a crazy high IQ offensive player. And he's not the greatest shooter in the world, not the greatest scorer in the world. He moves at a snail's pace. They call him slow-mo for a reason. But he thinks the game like 10 steps ahead. He really understands how to use angles to get himself buckets. He's a good passer. He racks up assists. He's also very big for a ball handler. He's 6'9", 6'10", so he can chip in on the glass. This is just a guy that I would expect to find the cracks in this bad Houston defense right now. And whether that's as a scorer or a passer, I do think he's going to get kind of into the double-digit range with just points and assists. And then whatever he could add with rebounds, like as I said, he's a big guy. He has a lot of length. I do think he's going to finish with three or four rebounds in this game, at least if he plays 20-plus minutes. So I just think you're going to see Anderson fill up the stat sheet as he has without Edwards lately. So I think this is a really good matchup for him. The other play I considered in this game was Bones Highland over 14.5 points. He has been, playing really well without Edwards. And overall, like on the entire season, he's played very well in general. And I don't think it's a coincidence that, Tim Connolly, who came over from the Nuggets, the guy that, really believed in Bones Highland to begin with, brought him in and made him a part of this, playoff team. But Highland has been playing great offensively, especially without Edwards, where he now has a pretty significant on-ball role. I would expect that if he's the player that ends up being covered by like Reed Shepherd tonight, he's going to have another good game as a scorer. So I might end up adding that still and just having two player props on the Timberwolves side. I usually don't like to have multiple player props on one team, especially when they are offensive player props, but might make an exception tonight just because it is so unique playing without a superstar with Edwards' usage rate being so high, there just are so many opportunities to go around. And I do think the Timberwolves, even though this total's low, will be able to find some decent shots against the Rockets' defense. Maybe I'm basing a little bit too much of that off of what they just did against the Bulls. Overall, it is a top 10 defensive team in the league, but I do think they're going to have some trouble getting stops, at least when Shepherd and Şengün are on the floor together. And I don't think we're going to see Ime Udoka make a starting lineup change just yet and pull Shepherd out. So I think you're going to see a lot of Shepherd and Şengün together. Before we recap our best bets for tonight, attention any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. All right, let's recap the best bets for tonight because I do have a lot. Loaded slate, like I said. Hopefully we enjoy some of these later games where, you know, we're seeing some playoff teams match up. But otherwise, I still think we'll find some ways to enjoy it. Or, you know, if the games are terrible, throw on Giants-Yankees. I am a Yankee fan, so I'll be having that game on. I'm one of my screens somewhere, so I am looking forward to that. But yeah, parlay. To start the night, this is my anti-tanking parlay, the brain-dead parlay, the tank-up-a-loser parlay, whatever you want to call it, the Gil Alexander special, anything. Lakers money line versus the Pacers, Spurs money line versus the Grizzlies, Nuggets money line versus the Mavericks, and Blazers money line versus the Bucks. This is minus 154. I have a parlay with the Hawks alternate +8.5 versus the Pistons, and the Raptors alternate +10.5 versus the Clippers at minus 115. Those were two separate parlays, by the way. Thunder money line minus 135 to win 1.5 units versus the Celtics. And then my two player props so far, Sam Merrill over 12.5 points at minus 125 versus the Heat, and Kyle Anderson over 11.5 points, rebounds, and assists at plus 100 versus the Rockets. Hopefully we stay in the green tonight. We ended up having a good night last night. Finally, it feels like hopefully, you know, the really, really bad stuff from last week is behind us and we can start winning a little bit now. I've had what I want to say a couple winning days in like three of the last four nights. I'm not really sure. It's been a little bit better lately. Hopefully it continues. I do feel good about this card. So hopefully it's a big night. We'll see. Although I'll take anything in the green, not too greedy. But yeah, best of luck if you are joining me. If you enjoyed today's show, you know, like, comment, rate, subscribe, whatever you can do to help us out in terms of feedback. But make sure you join us for a Thursday episode of Hardwood Handicappers, where I expect to have Jonathan Von Tobel on. We will talk about, you know, tonight's games, tomorrow's games, everything in between, some futures, all of that. So make sure you come back for some more Hardwood Handicappers. But best of luck tonight. Have a great evening or have a great day.